And welcome back to Cinema Vino. Oh yeah, one more button.
I don't know who was cut off, but
it was probably somebody.
It was me.
So we got Taylor, Trav, Sean,
Travis,
Yo, mm-hmm.
And
are you sure about that?
Maybe. So we're going to talk about Superman tonight, the OG, the original Superman, 1978, first big budget comic book movie ever made. So it should be interesting. This is Travis's pick.
Yes.
And so
You're welcome.
Yeah. This was a lot of fun to go back and watch because my wife, Jo, had never seen it. When we got together, there was a long list of movies that she had not seen. And this was on the list of stuff. She'd never seen Star Wars, Indiana Jones, like tons of stuff.
And so, this is the movie I think of when I think of Travis.
Yeah.
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 It's the movie I think of when I think of Trav, if that makes any sense.
And Travis.
And Kentucky Fried Movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Catholic high school girls in trouble.
Yeah. That's all I think about.
Mm-hmm. So I actually selected this wine for Trav.
Yes.
This is the Nevera Spanish box wine. This is a red.
It is lovely, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm a box wine connoisseur.
He's an aficionado. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a sound effect. Travis drinking through a straw out of a jar.
Mason jar, yes. With a handle.
Yeah, he's Pinterest friendly tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So this Travis was a pioneer for box wines. So he's been drinking box wines for years before they even got big. Back in the day, there was Franzia. There was just a big old Franzia bladder.
Well, it was that in Boone's Farm.
And yeah.
Did Boone's Farm come in a box?
No. But it was, you know, I would just drink it straight out of the bottle. It was delicious.
Because you were green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you just pour some into your Route 44 limeade from Sonic and you just go about your day.
Yeah. Got something sweeter than Yoo-hoo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Travis's birthday 1 year, I definitely got him a case of Blue Hawaii Boone's Farm.
And that's right. Yeah. And I just recently had it again.
And he just got rid of type 2 diabetes. Yeah. It was like just after that, a cold case of Boone's Farm.
Yeah. And Blue Hawaii ages really well.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
That was a lot of sugar in that. So
that was a good vintage for the Blue Hawaii. So
yeah.
They had a really good year wherever the hell that was made.
Mm-hmm. You got me an assortment because there were three Blue Hawaiis and there was like, you know.
Well, because that was the best seller.
Mm-hmm. Different flavors.
Yeah, there was one that was kind of pink colored. I don't remember what style that was. And then there was kind of a deep red hummingbird feed kind of thing.
It tasted like hummingbird feed.
Yeah, it was delicious.
I'm honest.
Yeah. You put that out in the yard, you're going to have a lot of hummingbirds on the ground. So, so Trav has been drinking box wine for a long, long time. And in recent years, box wine has become trendy. It's taken off. Because it's kind of gotten over that stigma that it is like, what's the word, garbage?
Yeah.
Box wine is actually can be really good. There's some good wineries that make boxes of wine and now cans.
Yeah.
There's a lot of places you can't take glass, like swimming pool, the lake, you know, float trips, yada, yada.
Street parties.
Board meetings. You can't. There's a lot of places you can't just walk in with a bottle of wine.
That's bullshit. But I get it. So, you know, I'm an asshole when I walk into a kid's birthday party with a bottle of wine in my ass, just giggling. It's like,
well, the nice thing about work from home is that restriction is off. So.
Yes.
That's true.
Yeah.
The nice thing about a box of wine, though, is that you can take the bladder out and then just throw it in the pool with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then just, it's a hello, swim up bar.
I've seen that before. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just give that bladder a good slap and get you some wine out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And so, yeah, it's taken off. Trav was a pioneer in that regard.
Not even that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
we have you to thank.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're welcome.
And it's great. I mean, some more benefits of it. You get 4 bottles of wine out of a 3-liter box. That's a third of a case for those of you who need a little help with the math.
Yeah.
It's a lot of wine. And it keeps, you know, you uncork a bottle of wine, it goes bad in a couple of days.
Yeah.
So with a box of wine, it will keep in the fridge for sometimes a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, four weeks.
Yep.
Yeah, you might finish a bottle of wine in a night, but a whole, like, 3-liter? Like, I mean, if you can, hats off to you.
Yeah. If you're in a
can have an entire evening of drinking nothing but wine, and then you still have some left over, so you don't feel like such a piece of shit.
No.
Yeah. Well, I think if you guys remember, I did do that one time.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
The White Zinfandel 3-liter.
That was fun for the whole
family.
Right.
You time traveled.
But, and yeah, the fun thing is that there's no, like, there's no like a bottle where you can see how much you've drank. This it's just random. You don't know how much is in there.
Yeah, no judgment.
You're just having fun.
Just
Yeah. It's like you may have had a bottle. You may have had two bottles. Yeah.
It's like drinking a trust fall. Kind of hope everything's going according to plan. And it's only when you pick it up and you're like, oh, wow, that's light.
Yeah.
It gets a little hairy.
It's like I've been had.
You got me, box wine.
Mm-hmm.
Got me.
So that's what we're doing right now. So it's going to be a great time to see how this goes, because we're just pouring indiscriminate amounts. You can do a
heavy pouring. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, this one is a delicious box wine, if I may say so.
It is. It's an easy drinking. I mean, great. I mean, this is a good summertime wine, you know? So that's why I love wines from Spain and Portugal. You know, they're meant to be enjoyed, you know, table wines.
Oh, yeah.
So, good stuff.
Yep.
And yeah, this was $20. So you think about that, that's $5 a bottle.
Yeah.
For a pretty good wine.
Woot.
Can't beat that with a stick. So, Superman 1978 was the most expensive movie ever made at the time of its release.
Ooh.
If you adjust to inflation, how does that hold up?
Still pretty high up there. There was, I think there's Birth of a Nation, maybe, there, or in a movie called Intolerance. They're both by the same director. Controversial director, D.W. Griffin.
Really expensive.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, this was back in silent movie days. Those came in the millions. Gone with the Wind's budget was in the millions. I don't know what that translates as. There was a movie called Cleopatra that came out in 1963 with Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton that cost, I think, $40 million in $63.
God damn.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was a four-hour movie about Cleopatra. It was rough. I watched that on AMC. It was tough to get through.
So that flopped, right?
I think it broke even because Elizabeth Taylor was like the biggest star in the world at the time.
On Marriage Number 3.
Yeah, it was a big controversy because I think she left Marriage Number 3 for Richard Burton, who became Marriage Number 4, and I think Marriage Number 5, because they got divorced and then remarried.
I think yeah.
Mm-hmm. So big controversy. I think that helped with the box office.
Still just counts as one.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how they count that. She was married to, I think, 7 different people.
It's a dirty two.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Dirty two.
Yeah. That's romantic. So that one cost $40 million at the time of its release, supposedly. At that time, it was definitely the most expensive film ever made. And I know in modern budget parlance, that still translates into hundreds of millions of dollars in modern money.
Yeah.
It was so expensive, so over the top with budget.
So what was the budget on Superman 1978?
$55 million. Yeah.
It's toasty.
Yeah.
Respect.
Yeah. It was the first major attempt by a studio to do a big time superhero movie. They wanted to make sure they had Marlon Brando, Gene Hackman, like Ned Beatty, a big cast of known people. They gave Marlon Brando a crazy amount of money. I believe $3.9 million is what I read up front, plus a percentage of the gross.
I was going to say, they gave him money plus points on this one and Superman 2, right?
Yes, which he did not, I believe, technically appear in the final cut.
Yeah, and so he sued the studio because Superman 2, he was supposed to get points on and didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think he won some more money.
Still used his voiceovers, I thought, for 2.
They replaced him, I believe, in 2 with the mom. If you go back and watch
the original Richard Lester cut. Okay.
So Marlon Brando's overall take from this was $19 million in late 70s money.
That's like a third of the movie.
Mm-hmm. He was in 10 minutes. He had 10 minutes of screen time.
And he wrote his lines down on the diaper,
of the baby.
Which Marlon Brando has a long history of doing. His lines in The diaper Godfather.
He's notorious for writing on babies.
Yeah. Yes. He on The Godfather, read his lines off of paper taped to Robert Duvall's chest. Supposedly Apocalypse Now, he didn't like the dialogue, so he wrote his own dialogue.
He threw
the pages out and wrote his own dialogue. There was a movie called The Freshman with Matthew Broderick where he had an earpiece and he had a guy off screen feeding him dialogue into his earpiece.
What a dick whistle.
So he was...
I don't know. Is he? Or is he just a god?
He's an innovator.
I mean, people were like, so he's probably not going to read the line. He's not going to memorize anything. Do you still want him?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, we do. Yeah. It's like, that's on them.
On Brando, yeah.
Yeah. I believe that he was paid more up front than Gene Hackman and Christopher Reeve combined. So, take that as you will.
Jeez.
And he and Gene Hackman had top billing on this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Reeve did Superman. Not have...
Yeah, he was unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And he was barely a supporting actor.
Yeah. So, it's interesting.
Huh.
Christopher Reeve was an unknown quantity. He was a product of Juilliard, which is, you know, for those who don't know, is a fancy elite school for theater in New York. He was classmates with Robin Williams, and they became lifelong buddies as a result of that. Big, extensive search for Superman, the casting of, and a lot of big-name people were entertained. I believe John Travolta was on the short list, Burt Reynolds.
Shit.
Sylvester Stallone wanted to be in the movie, yeah, but actually got blocked by Marlon Brando because they hate each other.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Uh-huh.
It's like, hey, you know about Fortress of Solitude, it's like, you know, crystals and everything. Dustin Hoffman would have been an interesting choice. He was also considered, which is weird because he does not fit the physical mold of Superman, at least what I picture.
Yeah.
Because Dustin Hoffman is about 5'5".
Mm-hmm.
So, which, I mean, I guess technically Hugh Jackman doesn't fit the physical appearance of Wolverine. Michael Keaton doesn't fit the appearance of Batman. So, who knows? Maybe Dustin Hoffman would have been the best ever.
Yeah.
But that's kind of like the 90s when Nick Cage was...
I was going to say Nick Cage as Superman in mm-hmm. The Death of Superman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I believe he was cast.
He was cast, but they never made the movie.
Yeah. That would have been fascinating.
I was actually just talking about that.
He got fitted for a suit and everything.
Yeah, they did test footage and the suit. It's great. Tim Burton.
Yeah, and maybe, I don't know, I would have been down for that just to see it happen.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, lots of big name people. There was a big, long list of people who were considered for Lex Luthor as well. A lot of famous character actors were put out there to be Lex Luthor. They selected Gene Hackman, who had already won an Academy Award at this point. He refused to shave his head for the part.
Oh.
Yeah.
He also refused to shave his mustache?
He was clean shaven for the mustache-wise.
For the movie?
Yeah.
Right, but they... So, I guess the director, Gene Hackman, was so insistent on not shaving his mustache that the director showed up with a fake mustache on and was like, listen, I'll shave my mustache if you shave yours.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
See, what else? I'll wrap up my thing. We'll let Trav talk about his thoughts on this movie.
Yes.
Travis. but yeah, and behind the camera, John Williams, you know, you had a lot of top people in the world working on this. The story was, the outline was written by Mario Puzo, who wrote The Godfather, the novels, and co-wrote the screenplay. So, pretty much, it was edited by Stuart Baird, who would later go on to be a director in the 90s. He directed some Star Trek movies, and he edited, I believe, Die Hard. I think there was Lethal Weapon. He had some high-profile movies that he did later. He's one of the top editors in Hollywood.
Hmm.
So pretty much everybody behind the camera was top-notch, too. This was like spared no expense kind of a thing. So, and it definitely shows in the finished product. It's a very good-looking movie. So, Trav, let's get your thoughts. You're a lifelong Superman guy. You go back.
Yes. So I used to, like, dress up in my Superman pajamas and put my underwear on the outside of the bottoms just so I could have a authentic costume. And I would run around and pretend like my mom was Lois Lane and try to save her from a falling helicopter all the time. And I would, you know, hum the John Williams, you know, theme and run around. So I've been a Superman fan, and particularly a fan of this movie and the sequel, basically since the mid-80s. Since I was like 4 or 5. But I still, to this day, especially with having seen other iterations of Superman, think that this is the best standalone Superman movie of all of them.
Yeah.
And one, just the John Williams soundtrack alone.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got Star Wars, which you immediately recognize if, you know, they play a few notes. You got Indiana Jones, do that, and same thing. It, for the life of me, I can't understand why they took, like, Superman Returns and then had a completely different person score. And they still used a little bit of the John Williams score in part of it, in the, like, I think the beginning and near the end.
Yeah.
And then you have Hans Zimmer in Man of Steel. To me, Hans Zimmer has a great soundtrack, but that is sacrilegious because those other characters have, boom, their notable theme. You know what it is. It's great. And they've tried to subvert that with Superman, which pisses me off.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I don't like it. It ain't my baby.
Yeah.
But yeah, you had a really faithful origin story. Superman doesn't show up until, what, 40 minutes in? And this is a long film. 2.5 hours?
Yeah. Yeah.
And 78 is, you know, that's some good shit. And you have Christopher Reeve, not one of his first roles, but a virtual unknown at the time.
Yes.
And when I think of Superman, I think of Christopher Reeve. Mm-hmm. And I love that they started out with the whole thing as basically the comic book, and they were turning the pages, and you see the Daily Planet and all that, and the characters are so great. There's one portion of the film where Superman shows up to Lois Lane's apartment and, you know, flies onto the roof and then takes her flying, does all that jazz, and then comes back as Clark Kent because they're supposed to have a date. She walks into the other room, and you see him think about telling her that he's Superman. And you see that Clark kind of hunched over and timid, and then he takes off the glasses, and his voice changes, and his posture changes. And he's like, Lois? And she's like, what? What are you going to say? And before she can turn back around, he thinks better of it. And then you see him, like, just that, you know, 30 seconds of time, you get to see him embody Clark Kent and then puff up to Superman, and, like, his posture, his mannerisms, and his voice change. And it's... I think that's one of my favorite parts of the film.
Yeah.
What did you guys think?
Oh, yeah. I loved it. And I kind of the same way. I never saw it from start to finish.
Yeah.
I've always seen it like in bits and pieces, but I've seen the whole thing. I've never seen Superman 2, to be honest, or 3. But Superman Returns was 2005? Was that right?
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Mid-decade.
But after watching it in its whole entirety, like, it's a really solid film. Mm-hmm. Like, again, I wasn't really into those films when I was a young kid. I didn't really watch a whole lot of movies real early on. But, I mean, yeah, like you were saying, like, they spent the money and it shows.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, of course, things are a little dated. But I was like, man, for what they had to deal with at the time, I was like, pretty cool. I was like, man, they really did it. I know the acting I thought was great. I actually liked Brando. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, and just haven't seen it probably in a decade, just, you know, not from TV.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it... All the little things, just Christopher Reeves, I was like, killed it in this role. And I'll be honest, I don't think I've seen him in anything else.
Yeah.
I've never seen another movie he did. And just seeing him be like, man, this guy might have been the perfect Superman.
Yeah, like ever. He was built for it.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, man, he just fucking kills it.
Yeah.
The whole storyline, I thought, I forgot how comedic it was in a lot of areas. And I was just... I like Gene Hackman a lot in it.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I was kind of like, he was kind of like one of my favorites. Yeah. I was like, man, I like this guy. I was like, I'm kind of rooting for him a little bit. He's very creative.
Yeah.
But it was a great film. I did like some of the quirky comedies was kind of interesting. But I will say, I do think it's probably one of the best comic book films. I know, you know, we're getting Marvel, DC, whatever. But like seeing what they had to work with at the time, I was like, damn, that is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
So I liked it, watching it for the first time ever in its complete entirety.
Yeah. One thing I would like to throw out there is Marlon Brando was paid $19 million, and he does not say Krypton correctly.
How does he say it?
Krypton?
Krypton?
The whole planet Krypton. It's like, damn.
Yeah.
So I thought, and probably nobody had the nerve to walk up to him and correct him. I've heard a story that...
Because he wouldn't do another take if you did. He would just be like, okay.
Yeah. There was a movie in the 50s. I forget the movie, but he did not want to be in it, but he was contractually obligated to be in it. And so if somebody asked him for a second take, he would piss his pants. Like, he would get through the take and then piss his pants on camera. You would see a visible wet stain. That's
amazing.
Yeah.
What a power move.
Yeah. So I imagine on this movie, it was just like, nah, we're good with that. Let's just Krypton. Yeah, we're good.
We paid a lot for those suits.
Yeah. That costume ain't cheap, my friend.
Fucking kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those suits that they wore, the ones that are like glowing white.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess each of those are like individually sewn glass beads so that the light refracts off it in such a way that it looks like they're glowing.
Yeah.
Very cool effects for 1978.
Yeah. Pretty innovative.
Yeah. So if he had peed those, I mean.
It would have been shimmering.
Yeah, it would have been very shimmering for multiple reasons.
$19 million.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, this is before points, but it was like Jesus. I mean, he could have pissed in everybody's suit.
Yeah.
Golly.
I loved how they even set up the sequel right at the beginning of the first movie.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah,
they,
it's
like pretty revolutionary. They show Zod and Nan and Ursa, and they show the whole Phantom Zone, and they send them off. Like, all right. So I guess I don't think it was originally supposed to be a single film.
Yeah,
no, but it was going to be
slated for two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was going to be a two part, and then Richard Donner got fired off halfway through of filming the second one. And I don't remember who picked up the slack, but to Richard me, Lester. This is almost like Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2, yeah. in that yeah. Superman yeah. 1 and 2 are essentially the same film, or, yeah. or almost count the same.
Yeah.
Because it seems to be like a kind of a, like Godfather, a bit of like an epic, mm-hmm. those two films anyway. The other two were a little rough.
Well, when you spend 40 yeah. minutes of origin story before you even get to him in the suit, yeah. it's like true. You leave a lot unaddressed.
Yeah.
And I did, I watched a interview with Christopher Reeve about how he wrote some of the dialogue for Superman 4. And it was about nuclear arms race and all this stuff and about like what Superman would, how he would factor into that. They're like, how come Superman just doesn't, throw all the nuclear weapons into the sun and then boom, peace on Earth. And so they deal with that on there. It's still not a great film, but he wrote part of it or some of the dialogue, and he was explaining that he was like, well, Superman to me is just a friend. He's, somebody you can count on. He's just a friend, all when you're feeling down, all that shit. And I definitely don't get that with this subsequent Superman. Like you get Brandon Routh, who's kind of a weird stalker, mm-hmm. and Superman Returns, yeah. like peeping on Lois, like going up the elevator, like at her house, and absentee father as well. Sorry, yeah. spoiler alert.
Yeah.
And then you get Henry Cavill, who is fine.
I like Henry Cavill Superman.
He doesn't. Yeah. Every that whole Snyderverse is so doom and gloom, and that's not what Superman is.
Yeah. At all. I agree with that.
Yeah. yeah.
I mean the one part in the Brandon Routh Superman Returns is when. That I thought was closest to the Christopher Reeve Superman is when he's saving the plane and he's, setting it down in the middle of the baseball yeah. field, mm-hmm. and they play some of the score and everybody's like, clapping, Superman's back. Like, that's it. That's as close as they got.
Yeah.
But what'd you think of it?
I thought it was really good. I mean, obviously it's a classic. It's a staple. Mm-hmm. I mean, the acting is good. The plot is a little shaky.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's great for what it is.
And that's what I was getting at. It's like, I found it actually comical. And it was like, and I liked it. I was like, this, Todd, that was violent.
Todd's refilling his wine.
Todd's pulling yeah. him. Todd's mad he's not getting able to talk, so he's peeing his pants right there. he's pulling a Brando. I was like, let's see how loud this is. Oh, yeah.
That is a stream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, Sean.
That's my bad.
Yeah. We're all just topping it off here.
Top that. Mm-hmm. Well, I think the plot is questionable, but it's fun. It's, yeah. Obviously, don't look too closely at it if you're wanting to have fun with it. But,
yeah.
I mean, he can fly as fast to catch up with that one missile, but then can't fly fast enough, but he can catch up with it. It's yeah. just, he's just behind it. It's like,
but he can fly around the world in two uh-huh. seconds.
To reverse yeah. the polarity of time.
So that's very, what they call pre-Crisis Superman. Now, Crisis on Infinite Earths was a thing where they... In the comics where they bring all the different worlds that are in DC back together. And when they say pre-Crisis Superman, that means Superman can come up with whatever superpower he wants to save the day.
They don't limit his powers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They don't define them. They're like, yeah, some of them, but he's forgotten more of what he can do than,
yeah.
anybody else.
Yeah.
But Superman Returns rehashed that same exact plot. About like they're not making more land, and it's all about Lex Luthor trying to do another land grab.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But I do appreciate that this Lex Luthor named a piece of his new territory after his girlfriend's boobs. great little Easter egg in there. If you look at the map, it's one of the little mountain ranges. Is two mountains. He names it after his girlfriend's boobs.
Miss Tessmacher.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
Otisburg.
I appreciate that Superman saved her mom.
Oh yeah,
that was mm-hmm. sweet.
He kept
yeah.
his word.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. It was
true to his word.
It was a good deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. All he had to do was like not die.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But I thought it was great. There's tons of like great fun facts about this movie, just like trivia that goes back. Like Christopher Reeves gained so much muscle mass because he continued to work out from start to finish of this movie that he's bigger at the end of the movie than he is at the beginning. And I think they had to do reshoots.
Yeah.
Because he'd gained so much muscle mass.
Wow.
And you can kind of see it in some of the scenes. It's like he's kind of scrawny at the beginning and you're like, oh, this is Superman? Like he's kind of unassuming. And then you get to the end, he's like, oh, that's Superman.
Yeah.
He's a buff man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's a big fella.
You go back and look like the George Reeves from the 50s, it's like they don't look as much like Superman, I don't think at all. You know, they're a little bit doughier.
Oh, yeah.
And then you look at Christopher Reeve, and he's like, but like you say at the end, it's like ripped.
He's beefy.
Yeah, he's a big old
muscular dude. Yeah, he doesn't have Michael Keaton, like, fake muscles.
Or muscle shirt?
Just like, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't
need that. It's like Adam West. Well,
that's the thing.
West.
Is like Adam West. The Superman in 1978 is such a high standard, and then it just drops off stark for, like, 30 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, it drops off to Batman. Adam West Batman.
Oh.
Which, was Adam West Batman before? Okay, so Adam West Batman was before. But what was the next Superman movie, or next superhero movie after the Christopher Reeve Superman?
That's tough.
Yeah.
Like, I know the Wonder Woman TV show was around. The Batman TV show was around before that.
Yeah. I mean, it might have been Batman 89.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything.
There might be other comic book characters that were, like, Howard the Duck.
Yes, I thought of that too.
Yeah, sure.
But that's not exactly like
it's not comparable. It's not one to one.
Supergirl was out there somewhere in the
80s. Yes, that is true. Supergirl was with Helen Slater
and Peter O'Toole, right?
Yeah, Peter O'Toole was in that too.
Oh, King Henry the II?
From Night of Winter.
And Faye Dunaway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was the villain, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course she was.
Yeah.
But yeah, this just set the bar so high for such a long period of time, and then obviously comic book movies have made a huge resurgence, and it's an entire industry now.
Yeah,
but it's iconic.
Yeah, I think to some degree the special effects had to catch up with.
Yeah, so you don't have to pay $55 million $78 just to make a decent movie.
Yeah, and so some of that's the advent of CGI. So you can do more stuff without having to build like miniature sets.
But watching this again, they were obviously the tagline is "You will believe a man can fly," and the wire work. Still pretty good.
Yeah,
when we watched, it wasn't like green screeny.
I was pretty well sauced again when I saw it, and I was like, "This is the greatest film ever,
best fucking movie I've ever seen."
But and I was like, "Oh, Lex Luthor's plot is pretty good. He brings in Superman. He's like, yeah, I got these two missiles. Or okay, but the detonator is over here, and he does the whole misdirection, sits on. He's like, oh, you're trying to throw it in lead, and then tosses him off, and then." He gets fucked by the kryptonite, but I love that little moment too, just because you know you have Superman as a villain. What's this guy? What's a bald dude supposed to do against him? And he's got to use misdirection. It's infinitely more interesting when he's fighting a villain that he can't just punch a whole bunch of times.
Yeah,
I mean, I want to see that too. I want to see some Dragon Ball Z crazy super fights, which is what Snyder gave us, but that just didn't have much substance.
Yeah, I mean, I was having this conversation this weekend about what CW has done with DC TV shows and how, like, the Arrowverse and the Flashverse, how, like, all of Flash's villains are other fast people, and, like, how all of Arrow's villains are, like, other people that also shoot arrows. It's like... Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Whatever. But with Superman, it's like he gets foiled by Lex Luthor, who outsmarts him, or he gets foiled by, somebody who's just like a legitimate counterpart to him. You know, it's not always just him trying to punch his way out of situations.
Yeah.
Right.
What was I going to say? I had something and I lost it.
Who played Gene Hackman's Gilligan?
Ned Beatty.
I'm sorry. I was like, I
loved him.
Loved that. It was like
great comic relief.
Oh, jeez, boss.
I was just like, oh. I mean, it really was. It was like Gilligan when I guess he messed the missile code up or whatever, and he was like, "Why you?" And like goes back there and starts hitting him. The girlfriend takes over the car. I'm like, what in the fuck am I watching? I was
Otis has his own theme song.
Yeah.
Which is what I hear in my mind whenever I'm walking down the street.
Yeah, and that's funny because it's a march, so it's just he gets a march just like Darth Vader, but it's all played on the tuba.
That's true.
Nice.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. I remember what I was going to say now. So Lex Luthor's plan is a little bit like the Joker in The Dark Knight, where it's like he sets up two situations and basically it's like...
Pick a side.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you can't get them both, so who are you going to save?
Also,
yeah.
the Gwen Stacy... Is it Gwen Stacy and Aunt May that Green Goblin sets up
for
Peter?
Oh, yeah.
Or is it Green Goblin or is it Dr. Octopus and Spider-Man 2?
Two, yeah.
Yeah, it's two.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
classic.
Yeah. Classic villain scenario.
Classic. What is it? The trolley problem?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of like the Joker puts it in the ultimate terms in Dark Knight, where it's like, you know, it's like, what are people going to do? You know, it's like on the ferry or whatever. You know, it's like basically it's like villains playing games with their hero. Mm. You know, making them choose or to jump through their hoops.
Yeah, proving that they can't be right all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I thought that was pretty cool here. Yeah, I think about that now, having watched these superhero movies. It's like now that you see those similarities that, you know, obviously this movie was, like you said, unique at the time it came out.
Mm-hmm. The one... thing that bothered me watching it again is that you see young Superman, and his dad dies from a heart attack or something, and he's
spoiler.
Like, and he's at the funeral, and he's like, all these powers, and I couldn't even save him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, so you think that's kind of going to be a theme? Is that like humanizes him? No. Lois Lane dies at the end, and he's like, nope, fuck this.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to turn back time.
Mm-hmm.
If I could turn back time.
To be fair, if he turned back time on his dad, he would have still died of a heart attack.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Although that is the plot of Dragon Ball Z with the Cell Saga. Trunks comes back in time to give heart medicine to Goku.
Oh. Trunks, voiced by Laura Bailey from Critical Role. I just found that out today.
Huh.
There you go.
And so, and there's a little bit of, was it Neo and the Matrix sequels where it was like, you know, he kind of gets these crazy powers of like, oh, he can like save Trinity and get her heart beating again and all this like,
yeah,
it's almost over the top powers.
Yeah.
Post-crisis Neo.
Yeah, man. And I'm curious about this fourth Matrix movie. What are they going to retcon 2 and 3? You know, are they going to pretend like they didn't happen?
That's what it kind of seems like. It's, you know, I think we kind of chat about that last week maybe, but yeah. I think they're probably just going to do their own thing with it.
A do-over.
And then, yeah. And just kind of be like, hey, did it happen? Didn't happen? You decide.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, they great. Say that like that the whole thing happens cyclically.
Yeah.
And that it's like, oh yeah, there've been ones before and all this. And
mm-hmm.
So Neo's like Daenerys, he's, you know, it's like, I'm going to break the wheel this time.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're just doing a hard reset.
Yeah.
Which kind of like Superman Returns with Brandon Routh. They ignored 3 and 4, did they not? And pretend like they didn't happen.
Yeah.
They started, this is a sequel to Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
Good tie-in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm actually more concerned now that he was a deadbeat dad in Superman, you know, Returns.
Yeah,
I didn't really, until you said that, I'm like, son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's a peeping Tom and a deadbeat dad.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be fair, he did look at her panties on the roof, so.
She asked, though.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She gave consent.
She gave consent.
Yeah.
You're right.
So,
it's important.
Yeah.
Shit.
What do we think about, I mean, we've evaluated Christopher Reeve as Superman. What about Margot Kidder as Lois Lane? What are our thoughts?
Was she in all of them?
She was in the 4.
Yes.
Original. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought she did great.
Yeah.
And especially going back and watching it, because it's like,
they had better chemistry than any other Superman.
Yes.
Since.
Which is the key to everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your movie's shot if, you know, Superman and Lois Lane don't have that chemistry with each other.
This movie does fail the Bechdel test, but
yes,
it's 1978.
Yeah, and that's true. A different time.
But this movie can only handle one strong woman.
Yeah. but Part 2, you get another strong woman in Ursa.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah.
Who is more than a match for Superman.
Superman. Yeah, we quickly need to do a Superman 2 watch as well.
Yeah, shit, I could have watched it before this.
Yeah. Superman.
Yeah. Superman.
Exactly.
Plus, Terrence Stamp as General Zod has all the best fucking lines in that film.
Yeah.
Like, so, every time I watch it again, I'm like, I hope he wins.
Yeah.
He just never does.
He's great because he's such a... You know, Terrence Stamp is such a theatrical, you know, theatrically trained actor, mm-hmm. that he puts that sort of strong, dramatic heft to it.
And Michael Shannon played the same role in Man of Steel. He's a great fucking actor.
I love Michael Shannon.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer my Zod's Terrence Stamp.
Yeah.
That's all I mean, have to say about that.
And yeah, Terrence Stamp is a... I mean, Michael Shannon's obviously a bigger, burlier... Looks like he could, you know...
He's an imposing guy.
Yeah, he looks more like somebody who could hang with Superman in a fight as opposed to Terrence Stamp, you know, but...
You ever see the video of Michael Shannon reading the sorority letter?
Yes. It's outstanding.
I think I've seen that, yeah.
So great.
Yeah. From, like, the president of the house to her members. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's strong.
He even did a great job in Man of Steel. Like, his acting ability and his job is...
Mm-hmm.
Just delightful.
Yeah.
But still, I prefer a haughtier Zod.
Yeah. Yeah, a more aristocratic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Shakespearean Zod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, do you prefer Zod versus Superman or Khan versus, what's his name?
Shatner.
Yeah, that's the one.
I'm going to go Zod, Superman.
Yeah. I think so, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to stick to that. But yeah, these movies fell off after part two. Part three was rough.
Richard Pryor was in it.
Yeah.
Lovely. And it had Superman drinking mm-hmm. at a bar.
Oh.
And getting pissed off. And there was like an evil Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so he did the Spider-Man 3 dark suit Spider-Man?
Actually, yeah.
Kind of, sort of, yeah. That's a great way to put it.
He did the jazz dance. And
mm-hmm.
I really wanted him to do like, you know, Bizarro Superman or like Brainiac in some of the other movies. But instead, at three, they had... some crazy lady robot mm-hmm. and evil Superman and Richard Pryor.
Mm-hmm. Part four had Nuclear Man.
Nuclear Man.
Destroy yeah. Superman.
Destroy Superman. Yeah, that's right.
So what, Taylor, what would your rating of this movie be?
And John, not John Krasinski. Who played Ducky?
Jim Halpert?
No, who played Ducky in...
Superman finding his
God. Damn it. What was the Charlie Sheen TV show with his... Two and a Half Men?
Mm-hmm.
Who's that? John Cryer.
Yeah.
John Cryer was in Superman 4.
Oh,
and was,
yeah.
It was Lex Luthor's, like, cousin or nephew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Anyway, the less said about 3 and 4, the better.
Yeah. yeah, all you John Cryer fans, take note.
Those are later podcasts.
Yes. So, Tay, what would you rate this movie? Scale of 1 to 10.
Well, it's no Con Air, but but for what it was, and honestly, kind of like the star power behind it and acting and everything, I would easily a 7, maybe even like 7.5
mm-hmm.
for me.
Yeah.
I'm extremely biased, and I think it's damn near a perfect movie. So I want to say 9. I'll give it an 8.5.
Mm-hmm.
In my heart, it's a 9, so fuck you.
Yeah. I'll give it a 7.5.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. I think it's really, really good. Mm-hmm. Definitely rewatchable.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Trav. I'm biased. You know, I loved it as a kid. Wore out the VHS tape that I had. So 8.5 or 9 for me. Like I say, it's a great movie. I loved it. It's a notch below Star Wars for me.
Is Superman 2 better or worse than 1?
It gets a little bit campy, you know, it gets a little bit over the top with, you know, it's like, I only answer to the president of the United States, mm-hmm. you know, where Zod rips off his stars off of the general's shoulders.
Yeah.
It gets a little bit hokey, you know, with some of its humor, you know, or was it the non, you know, it's like him like trying to make like the laser eyes, like the laser vision, stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's some quirky bits of humor in there that don't work, but I would say that's probably still a 7.5 or 8.
Well, that's the first one where they had like kind of a superhero fight in a city, and they tried to, you know, it's nothing by today's standards, but they try real hard.
Yeah.
But it's got some of the best lines, you know, Terrence Stamp, and then it's got Superman, you know, they're at the Daily Planet, and he flies up, and he's like, excuse me, General, would you like to step outside? I was like, why is so fast? I had my Superman PJs on.
Yeah. Travis, logistical question. Can Superman shoot his laser eyes through lead to see what's on the other side?
Yes. Oh, the X-ray?
Yeah. I mean, if he uses his laser eyes to kill the lead.
Yeah.
To burn a hole in
it. Yeah, burn a hole in it and then see through it.
Yeah, he can burn through the
Why does lead? He not do that more?
Oh.
The Superman
I feel like that's a big flaw.
Yeah.
All right. Just throwing it out there.
Does he have the ultimate power set for superhero?
he has the quintessential power
yeah.
set.
Yeah,
he's like super strong. He's invulnerable. He can fly. That's about it. That like
he's damn near god tier.
Yeah. And then everything else is just extra. You can. He's got the super breath, which is either like a gale force wind or freezing, and then he's got laser eyes. Then he's got all the super senses. He can see forever. He can hear everything. Yeah.
So, pre-crisis Superman versus Thanos.
Pre-crisis Superman.
Think so?
Yeah.
With no stones.
Thanos with or without stones?
Yeah, we'll say without stones.
Without pre-crisis Superman beats anybody because the writers just give him whatever power.
Are the Infinity? Oh, pre-crisis, sure, yeah. But I mean, are the Infinity Stones magic? His one vulnerability.
That is true. Kryptonite and magic are his main weaknesses. The stones are cosmic power.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It's ambiguous.
Mm. So I mean, how would Superman do against somebody like Dumbledore?
Or David Blaine.
Oh, yeah,
exactly. Superman versus David Blaine. Yeah, Let's get that going.
Chris Angel mind freak.
Yeah. What if the Statue of Liberty disappears? Yeah.
David Copperfield.
Yeah.
Superman be peeing in his pants. Yeah. I was like, what's going on here?
It's like that man's levitating.
I would say Scarlet Witch could fuck him up.
For sure.
Probably. Mm-hmm.
Doctor Strange.
Okay. However,
which I feel like Doctor Strange also has super an Infinity speed. Stone, therefore it's magic.
Yeah.
I feel like cosmic power and magic is kind of right there.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, if Thanos knew that Superman's just basically a solar battery, and if he could just use like the power stone and then just drain him of all solar energy.
I thought you were going to say kill the sun, but.
Oh, he'd that too.
Yeah. Man, a lot of food for thought.
That's another episode.
Yeah. That's a whole nother spinoff. Cinemavino After Dark.
Matchups episode part four.
That's Cinemavino after 4 liters of wine.
Tell me more about this After Dark.
I like that.
That's when it gets spicy. It's like Baywatch Nights.
Makes me feel slinky.
It's like when you
head into something more comfortable.
Baywatch and Baywatch Nights.
Oh, yeah. Silk stockings.
Yeah. It's like where that's Baywatch Nights is where you get Hasselhoff and like the silk shirt that's unbuttoned, several buttons.
Oh, I'm feeling a little David Duchovny in Red Shoe Diaries.
Find our calendar on cinemavino.com.
Yeah, that's where it's all about chest hair.
That's so much chest hair on that calendar.
Yeah. Anyway, so this has been another episode of Cinemavino, and we thank you guys very much. Again, that's La Nevera. Spanish red box wine. It is quite good, quite easy drinking.
You can watch all four movies and drink this entire box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One bottle per movie. Just keep the party going.
I mean, you can watch streaming the one movie HBO and Max. This entire box if you really want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, by the time you get through on the fourth bottle, Superman Part 4 is going to be real damn good.
Awesome.
Woot.
Tune in next time. We will begin our Halloween adventure.
Spoopy.
It's going to be a month-long extravaganza.
Oh, it'll be spoopy.
Exactly.
A lot of spoops.
Yep. We're going to do first Tremors. So it's going to be fun for the whole family.
Sand sharks.
Exactly. So we will see you all next time.
Bye. Bye.
Not with a bang, but with a
whimper.
Whimper.
Meow, meow, meow.
Meow, meow, meow.
You can listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available. Our website is at cinemavino.net, and reviews of these movies can be found at toddwatfermovies.com.